encouraging discipleship is one of our goals. And certainly prayer in every aspect of our fellowship is part of that. And so prayer is something that we have been encouraging for sure. And so we need to ask the question, if we want to be seeing more prayer happening, what should that look like? Today's passage, much of it is about prayer that we're going to be looking at. Colossians 1 from verses 9 to 14. And so where better to look at a passage about prayer if we're thinking about what should our prayer be looking like around here. So Colossians 1, and let me just read part of it. We'll start at verse 9 and read part of it and kind of go from there. So at verse 9 of Colossians 1, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God." And then he goes on to talk about what they were asking God for, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But as I read that, and the rest of the verses that follow that to talk about it, I was thinking how it's very different from the prayers that we so often hear. The prayers that Paul has for these Colossian believers are very different from what we sometimes hear. So just to get a handle on those, I Googled it, for interest's sake, just to see what it says. So here are the top dozen, well, actually it's a baker's dozen because there's 13, the top 13 prayer requests that people make, okay, according to Google. For the health of family and friends, okay, for guidance, for peace, for finances, and together with that, for work, for exams, for our own health, and for the salvation of people that we know, for family issues, for our children, for the poor, for those grieving, and for safety in travel. Now, those are all good, as I look at it. But as I said, as I was reading these verses here, almost none of them are mentioned in these things that we see Paul doing here as he's praying for these people. He isn't praying for safety in travel, which is pretty common, or for most of the rest of these, but he's praying for some other things. And so I thought, if we want to be a church that is more and more in prayer, well, we need to see the kind of things that Paul was praying for these new believers here in the book of Colossians. And as we look at that, what I want to think is, or us to have in the back of our mind the whole time, is this is what we should be desiring for others, and so what we should be praying for them. This is what we should be desiring for ourselves as well, and so what we should be praying for ourselves and asking others to pray for us in the realms of what we find here in these verses. So Colossians 1, and let's read verses 9 to 14. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So there's a lot in there. And as Paul tends to write, it's only like about two sentences, that whole thing, how everything all connects together. So in a nutshell, though, he prays that we would know God. He prays that our character would be something that is God-honoring. He prays that we would know what God wants us to do, and he prays that we would be serving. So there you go. In 1 minute, there's a sermon in a nutshell. God prays that we would Paul prays that we would know God, that our character would be God-honoring, that we would know what God wants us to do, and that we would be serving. But we'll look at it in a little more depth than that. As we go through these verses, they're kind of in a different order than what I found as I was looking at it. But the first one that I want to think about is, he prays that we would know God. He prays that we would know God. We find this first in verse 10, where it says at the end of the verse, "growing in the knowledge of God." Now, this doesn't just mean knowing and understanding about God. It says that you would grow in the knowledge of God, that you would know God. So let me illustrate for a moment. And I did this once, I don't know when, sometime in the past. Okay. So when I was 9 years old, we lived about an hour and a half from Montreal. And in those days and ever since, the Canadians and the Bruins have had a rivalry going. Okay? So in those days, it was the heyday of Bobby Orr. And so I became a Bruins fan. Okay? So in 1970, they won the Stanley Cup. Okay? The next year, 70-71, they should have won the Stanley Cup if it wasn't for a guy named Ken Dryden. And those of you who are hockey fans know about him. And then they won again the next year, in 1972. But in 70-71, and this is the year that I was thinking about in particular, they were a team that was unparalleled in those days. So of the first four in the scoring championship thing, you know, the first four people were all from Boston. So Phil Esposito had 76 goals, 76 assists for 152 points. Bobby Orr had 37 goals, 102 assists for 139 points. He was second. I don't remember goals and assists for the next guys, but Johnny Busick had 116 points. Ken Hodge had 105. So that was the first four. And then number seven and eight were two more Bruins players. So six out of the top eight scorers were all from one team. They scored 185, I think it is, more goals than they had scored on them that year. So they were an amazing team. And I could go on and tell you lots about these guys, because when you're 9 years old, you remember everything. And you can't get that stuff out of your head, right? But you know what? I know an awful lot about them, but I don't know them at all. I never knew any of them. I knew an awful lot about them, but really, I never knew them at all. But you know, they're in second place right now in the whole league. Just so you know. And they beat Tampa Bay a couple times. So, anyways, I was thinking about how often is it the same with us and God? Because we sometimes can know an awful lot about God, right? About his omnipotence and his omniscience and his omnipresence and his omnificence and his immutability and his sovereignty and his righteousness and his holiness and his justice and even his mercy and love. And you could go on and on about the things that we know about God. But do we just know about him? Or do we really know him? Because this is what Paul is praying for these people. I pray that you'll know him, that you will grow in your knowledge of him. Now, of course, the first step in knowing God, in knowing anyone, is meeting them, right? And that's where we have to start. And that happens when we come face to face with the realization that we can't do this by ourselves, right? That our own failings are significant and we need God. And so we cry out and we say, Lord, I need you. You know, forgive me of my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sins away on the cross. Come be my Savior and Lord. And you know, if there's anyone here who wants to grow in the knowledge of God, it has to start there. It has to start with meeting him. And so if you want to grow in him, and if you haven't yet met him, well, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. That's where it starts. If you haven't met him, come to him today. But if you have, as most of us have, we need to be growing in the knowledge of God. We need to get to know him better. So how do we do that? Well, it's not the kind of question that you can answer in just a couple of minutes, but let me begin to address it anyways. Last Thursday, I was at the Continuing Care Center. You can turn to John chapter 10. And I was looking at John 10 with the residents there, some verses that are speaking about Jesus as a shepherd. And we read in John 10, in verse 3, or right in about the middle of verse 3, it says, speaking of Jesus as a shepherd and us as his sheep, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Because they know his voice. And so I was thinking, as we seek to know God better, first of all, how do we know his voice? Well, we have a Bible reading contest happening now, right? And that's a big part of how we get to know his voice. Because this is where God speaks to us first, right? He's given us his written word, and we have to get it in us if we're going to hope to grow in the knowledge of God. And we sometimes sing, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. That's how it starts, right? We have to be in God's word, and then we have to be in prayer. Let me reiterate what I said here a few weeks ago. The same as a baby grows naturally, that's just what babies do, right? They grow. We need to be doing the same. We looked at the fact that they need light and water and nutrition and oxygen. The light of the world is Jesus. When we meet him, our life fills with light. And then we're washed in the regeneration of the Spirit. We need nutrition. We need to sink our teeth into God's word. And we need exercise, oxygen flowing through our veins. I pray that you will grow in the knowledge of God, is what Paul said here in Colossians chapter 1. So first of all, our prayer needs to be that we would know God. So back to Colossians. What else does Paul pray for them? That we need to be praying for those around us and for ourselves. So Colossians 1 again, and let me read verse 11 and 12 again to you, where it breaks in the middle of this long sentence. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. We'll stop right there. I pray that you may have great endurance and patience and be joyfully giving thanks to the Father. So we see four different characteristics of our character that we're supposed to have. Endurance and patience and joy and thankfulness. And as I was thinking about those and reading them there, I see how they reflect very much the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians 5. We see all of these same things there. And I've summed them up on your little outline there if you've seen that as character. We need to pray for God-honoring character is something else that we see from these verses then. And when I think of character, I think, he was a man of good character, of integrity. Those kind of things is what it's talking about there. I remember learning this lesson well first, way back when I was first a youth sponsor. So this is back when I was 18 years old in my first year of university, so this was a few years ago. I helped run a youth group in a church in Edmonton. Every Friday, I picked up two boys on my way to youth group. In those days, I guess it was called young people's, right? We didn't call it youth group, we called it young people's. Even though people's isn't really a word, but anyways, what can you do? Anyways, these two boys that I would pick up every Friday were sometimes a bit of a handful. So I sometimes had to get in their face a little bit. We'll just call John and John. Their names both were John, but I won't give you their last names in case you happen to know one of them. Anyways, the youth group was at a weekend retreat. I would at Nakaman, the Alliance camp out west of Legal. And this was back before it was the resort that it is nowadays, right? It was late Friday night, and everybody was in bed, except for there was about a half dozen of us leaders in a room still up, and I guess a little bit loud. I wasn't aware of that at the time. Anyways, one of the older leaders, the resident grumpy old man, came stomping up the stairs and sent us off to our rooms. So I came into the room that I was staying in. There were five or six kids who were my charges or whatever, right? And as I opened the door, I saw the little light on John's watch turn on, one of these boys, and turn off, just like that. And instantly I thought, oh, what have I done? Because here he is looking to see when I came in so that he would have something. Here I was, going to him over and over again, saying, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, about all kinds of things, all the time. And now, here he had something on me. Okay? And so I learned a little bit about integrity that day from this boy, and I'll never forget that. We need to pray for God-honoring character, is what this says here, both for those around us and for ourselves as well. And then it talks about different parts of that character. It talks about, first of all, endurance and patience. One commentary I was reading said that the meaning of those words, the reason that they're both there, both endurance and patience, is that patience has to do primarily with circumstances, and endurance, or long-suffering, is the other word, primarily has to do with people. And we need to have both of those. If we're living patiently through the trials of life, yet we explode with a friend, well, that doesn't cut it, right? Or if we're graceful to those around us and yet have a cow when things go wrong, well, then that doesn't work either, right? And our testimony is shot. So we need patience. We need endurance. And we also, it says, joyfully giving thanks. We need to have joy and thankfulness in our life. In trying circumstances or with trying people, in times when we need patience and endurance, usually joy and thankfulness aren't the first things that we think of, right? Those kind of times. They're not what come naturally to us at that point. And so that's why earlier in the verse, in verse 11, it says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And so that's why back in Galatians 5 as well, when it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the evidence of the Spirit at work in our life. And so if there's going to be joy and thankfulness when we're in the midst of trials, it isn't coming from us. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit within us. And so that's the second thing that we need to pray for. We need to be praying that we would be people with a God-honoring character. Okay, then the third one. Colossians 1 and 9 again. And for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We need to pray for spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we would know what God wants us to do. Many times over the years, I have spoken with people, and so have you, and the burning question in their heart was, well, what does God want me to do? You know, what's God's will for my life? You know, you often hear that. It seems sometimes they just, you know, when youth come to me with that kind of question, they want me to give them a piece of paper that says, this is the career I'm supposed to have, and this is who I'm supposed to marry, and this is where I'm supposed to live, and this is the house I'm supposed to buy. Here you go, and you got it all like that. But that isn't how it works, right? We can find in here, again, it's the general will of God in terms of so many things. And so for lots of things, we don't have to ask God what he wants us to do because he's already said it, right? So we know that we're to be loving. We know that we're to be telling other people about God. We know we're not to murder people. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we know already. And so we don't have to ask God about that because it's already in here. We just have to read this and find out what it is that God is saying to us. More specifically, though, sometimes we have questions, right? And says, so what does God want me to do in this area or this area? Well, we know, first of all, that it's not going to disagree with what we find in here about his general will. And so that helps us to already know a little bit about what God wants for us specifically. I put a quote on your little outline there that comes from John White's book called The Fight. So let me read it. You can read along. In the book, he says, God wants us to know his mind. He wants us to grasp his very heart. We need minds so soaked with the content of Scripture, so imbued with biblical outlooks and principles, so sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting, that we will know instinctively the upright step to take in any circumstance, small or great. And then further on, I wrote a little more. Through the study of Scripture, you may become acquainted with the ways and thoughts of God. So we can know God's will as we know God's mind. The more we know know God, then we know, we will know what it is that God wants us to do. In the junior high Sunday school upstairs, we just finished looking at the story of Joseph. And I often think of him when I think about knowing God's will, Joseph in the Old Testament. So when he was thrown into a pit and when he was sold as a slave in Egypt, he would never have dreamed that one day that he was going to be the prime minister of Egypt, right? There's no way that he was thinking that that was down the road. And if he did know it, he probably would have backed away from it. This isn't something that I'm ready for. But he knew what he was supposed to do right where he was at, right? And so he served faithfully and did what was right as a servant in Potiphar's household. He was a model prisoner when he was unjustly thrown in jail. Where he was at, he did what he knew what was right. And so we are called to do the same thing. If we wonder what it is that God has for us to be doing, we need to know that we know much of it already. Right where we are, we know what God wants us to do, so we need to take the step there. And faithfulness in small things prepares us for faithfulness in big ones. So we need to pray that God will fill us with the knowledge of his will, is what it says here, that he'll fill us with the knowledge of his will. Another little kind of gem I came across. In the language of the New Testament, when it says to be filled, it means to be controlled by it. So when it says we need to pray that God will fill us with the knowledge of his will, we need to pray that God will control us with the knowledge of his will. We need to be controlled by that. And that will lead us to the next level, which leads us into the fourth thing that we need to be praying for. Again, in verse 10 again. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. We need to pray that we will live for him and serve him faithfully. This is the next thing that we need to pray. I read a quote from D.L. Moody's, which is also in your little outline, and it says, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. And what that means is we need to be doing what it says. We need to be active. We need to be on doing the things that we discover in here. We need to pray that God will give us opportunities to serve him. And we need to pray that he will help us to see those opportunities and seize them, that we will have the courage to step up and to step out. We need to pray that he will enable us as we serve. We need to pray that we'll move forward in that service despite obstacles thrown in front of us by the enemy. And we need to pray that we will do all of this for him and not for us. So we need to pray that we will live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him and bearing fruit. Remembering, of course, that God is the one who produces the fruit. But when we are obediently serving, it will be there. So there you have it. From these few verses, there are so many things that we can and should be praying for. And all those other ones that we saw at the beginning are good, but I think in this passage we find some of the most important things that we need to be praying for. First of all, that we not only know God or know about God, but that we know God better and better, which comes, of course, through reading his word and through prayer. We need to pray for our character, that we will be God-honoring in all that we do and say. We need to pray that we will be attuned to God's will in our lives, and that we will be doing all that we know of it as we live it. And then we need to pray for opportunities to serve God. These are the things that we see that Paul was praying for this church in Colossae. And we need to learn from that and see the same is true for us now. We need to be praying these things for those around us, that they would see those things in their lives. We need to be praying them for ourselves and asking others to pray those same truths for us as well. So let me pray for you at this point, and hopefully we have, through this, learned a little bit of what Colossians has for us. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for all that we find in there, the truths of who you are and what that means to us. And so, Father, as we have been thinking about prayer this morning, help us to spend our time when we're praying about things that matter to you. And so many of those have to do with our growth in you and as we come to rely and depend on you more and more. So, Father, we ask that you would remind us to pray for these things that matter. And for those whose lives we are a part of and who we come across every day, Father, we pray that for them as well, that they can come to realize these truths about who you are and the difference that that can make in their lives. Help us to look to you in all we pray. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are going to sing one more song together here, so get the music team up here. Marky's not down here, but this song is nice and easy. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. Oh, there's Graham's got it. And then the next one says, loving you and serving you. The greatest thing in all my life. So rise with us, please, as we sing this song together. For being with us here this morning, and may that be your prayer as you go through your week. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you, loving you, and serving you. Thank you for being here.